Radio Prague News. The 29 Czech military doctors who were sent as reinforcements to hospitals in neighboring Slovakia on Saturday are returning to the Czech Republic. Some 25,000 school teachers around the Czech Republic took part in Wednesday's hour-long strike, and the lower house of Czech parliament has approved the 2012 draft budget for a final reading. The 29 Czech military doctors who were sent as reinforcements to hospitals in neighboring Slovakia on Saturday are returning to the Czech Republic, a spokesman for the Defense Ministry said on Wednesday. The Slovak government has meanwhile settled a labor dispute with some 1,200 doctors who walked out over low salaries, and the situation in the healthcare system is returning to normal. The 29 Czech specialists were deployed in hospitals in Bratislava, Nitra, Žilina and Ružomberok. Some 25,000 school teachers around the Czech Republic took part in Wednesday's hour-long strike, causing every sixth school to open its doors at 9 instead of 8 a.m. According to the teachers' unions, the protest, joined by schools mainly from the South Moravian and Moravian Silesian regions, was without incidents. The unions are protesting a proposal to let headmasters decide teachers' salaries rather than deriving them from length of service. The proposal would affect primarily older teachers, who make up more than half of the teaching force. Meanwhile, the government is discussing changes to teachers' salary tables on Wednesday. The lower house of Czech parliament has approved the 2012 draft budget for a final reading that is to take place next week. The proposed state budget deficit for 2012 is 105 billion crowns. MPs have also proposed shifts worth billions of crowns within the budget, but Finance Minister Miroslav Kalousek says most of them have no chance of being passed. Mr. Kalousek himself proposed that 1 billion crowns be transferred in support of sport, national heritage protection and social projects. Czech Parliament is not going to approve the new European Stability Mechanism by the end of 2011. The Senate has followed Tuesday's decision of the lower house to postpone the vote until next year at the request of Foreign Minister Karel Schwarzenberg. A 3/5 majority of lawmakers is needed to pass the legislation. The postponement is related to the latest changes in the Eurozone and reports of a looming credit crunch and economic downturn. The European Stability Mechanism is a rescue funding program designed to succeed the temporary European Financial Stability Facility and European Financial Stabilization Mechanism. It is due to come into effect in mid-2013. Representatives of Czech Airlines pilots who staged a protest last week against the company's restructuring plans have been meeting with the carrier's management on Wednesday. The only item on the agenda is a planned mass dismissal of pilots, a spokesman for the pilots' union said. The company is planning to offload 11 aircraft to Holidays Czech Airlines, a subsidiary charter firm, and dismiss around 100 pilots while creating the same number of jobs in the subsidiary but offering significantly lower salaries. Dozens of flights were cancelled last week as the pilots coordinately took sick leaves in protest of the planned move. And finally, a quick look at the weather. The coming days are expected to be partly cloudy with chances of rain or sleet and daytime temperatures reaching highs of 3 degrees Celsius. I'm Pavla Horáková and that's the end of the news.
Hello and welcome to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. My name is Christian Falvey. Many thanks for tuning in. Today, Russian President Dmitry Medvedev arrives in Prague for talks with Czech political leaders. Viktoria Plzeň stuns AC Milan with a draw in their final group match in the Champions League. And later on in Spotlight, we visit the largest museum of mining in the Czech Republic. I hope you'll be staying with us today for all that and more here on Radio Prague. Russian President Dmitry Medvedev arrives in Prague on Wednesday at the invitation of Czech President Václav Klaus. His short visit will entail primarily meetings with President Klaus, who is often noted for his warm attitude towards Russia, and later on Thursday with Prime Minister Petr Nečas. There is plenty on the table for discussion among Czech and Russian leaders, namely business deals and Russia's bid for the tender to complete the Temelín nuclear power plant in South Bohemia. Many of the milestones in the last decade of Czech-Russian relations, however, have been negative, with years of debate over the abandoned American missile defense plan and a spy scandal 2 years ago. Earlier today, I spoke with Petr Karatochvíl, one of the heads of Prague's Institute of International Relations and an expert on Russia, and asked where relations stand now.
There are many issues that influence the Czech-Russian relations. The missile defense is one very important one, but not the only one. There are other issues, economic issues in the long term, also the EU and NATO membership, which had to some extent a negative impact on Czech-Russian relations. So I would say that the long-term relationship has experienced a number of ups and downs.
Well, regarding missile defense, they're set to be discussing that again. What more do you think can be said on that topic?
I'm convinced that this will not be the main part of the discussions here. As I said, the talks will be more focused on the Temelín power plant. The main reason for this is that the Czech Republic has been sidelined to some extent in this project, and that the Russian diplomatic efforts focus more on other countries which will play a more important part in the project.
And regarding Temelín, Medvedev will be lobbying for a Russian tender for the nuclear power plant's completion. Is there anything he could do to tip the scales in Russia's favor?
I'm not convinced that he can tip the scales. The problem is that he's lobbying at the wrong place, because, or preaching to the convinced, because President Klaus is a long-time friend of Russia and very much in favor of Russia's involvement in the Czech, both politics and economy. But the problem is that he is not the figure that will decide about the result of the tender. So there is a big difference between the views of the president and the predominant mood in the Czech government, which is rather Russo-skeptical. And in that sense, I believe that Russia stands almost no chance of winning the tender.
Well, with Temelín and missile defense aside, what do you think that this round of personal meetings with President Medvedev could bring to the future of Czech-Russian relations?
Well, first of all, we should realize that Medvedev is the weaker person compared to the second part of the tandem, compared to Vladimir Putin. And his position has been further weakened, first by the declared intention of Putin to run for the presidency office next year, and second, the recent State Duma election in Russia, where Medvedev was the leader of the party list, which suffered substantial losses. So in that sense, Medvedev is a lame duck, is someone who is not able to influence neither Russian foreign policy nor its domestic politics. And so I think that there won't be any far-reaching consequences, or the impact will be rather limited.
That was Petr Karatochvíl, one of the heads of Prague's Institute of International Relations. This is Radio Prague. Viktoria Plzeň rewarded fans at Prague's Eden Stadium on Tuesday with a match to remember against AC Milan in the Champions League. With just minutes remaining, the Czech club scored not once but twice to earn a well-deserved draw. While not enough to advance, the club will at least continue in competition in UEFA's Europa League in the spring. Jan Wellinger has the details.
At one point in Tuesday's Champions League game between Viktoria Plzeň and Italian football giants AC Milan, things looked pretty much over for the Czech club. Specifically early into the second half, after Peto and Rubino scored within just 60 seconds of each other to put the Italian side ahead 2-0. The Czech League champions, though, came back, leveling the game dramatically in the dying minutes and seconds. Bystroing struck what appeared to be a consolation goal in the 89th minute, but Slovak international Gyurish added a second, scoring just moments away from the final whistle to secure a draw against the Italian club. The result sparked celebration by fans and saw Plzeň coach Pavel Vrba, who turned 48 on the day, given a long ovation. The team's record in its maiden Champions League run? A respectable 5 points from 1 win, 2 draws, and 3 losses, securing 3rd place and a spot in the Europa League. A little earlier I spoke to journalist Karel Herring, who covers football, for the Czech Daily Sport.
I think they did better than it was expected, I think. 5 points is a very good number, I think, for Plzeň. And what I rate even more than the number of points is level of performance, because I think Plzeň played very well. I think people really enjoyed all the games of Plzeň in Champions League, and I think for me this is the biggest, let's say, the best thing.
It seemed that they didn't sit back ever, that they really went for their chances when they had them. They weren't afraid.
Yes, definitely, definitely. And I think they confirmed their philosophy, which is still attack, going forward. And this is what we can, let's say, admire, because they didn't turn to more defensive way of playing. This is what I really, really admire, because this is not typical for Czech club football.
And certainly, even on Tuesday night, AC Milan probably didn't expect Plzeň to come back and tie the game late in the match as they did.
Yes, yes, definitely. I think we could see that AC Milan didn't play with stop concentration because of their position. They couldn't finish better in the group stage. But I don't want to say that AC Milan didn't want to succeed, or probably at the end of the game they lost their concentration and were punished for it. But for me, draw was a result which Plzeň definitely deserved.
Many people have noted Plzeň's sort of play now. Has it had a positive impact not only on the team but elsewhere as well, like the national squad?
Yes, I think this is another success of Plzeň, because the impact of factor Plzeň was for me one of most important in the way for Euro 2012, because Coach Bilek started to play with more Plzeň players since September in Scotland, when Juracek made quite impressive debut. Czech national team changed the formation from 4-2-2-2 to 4-2-3-1, which is the way players from Plzeň like. And you could see that the performances of the national team were much more offensive, much more direct. Yeah, and I think it was a very, very positive factor for the national team.
That was sports reporter Karel Herring talking to Jan Wellinger. If you're just tuning in, then thank you for joining us. You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Christian Falvey. Now, 2 weeks ago in Spotlight, we travelled to the centre of Ostrava, the capital of the Moravian Silesian region, where a new industrial heritage site is going to open next year. Today we will stay in the area to visit Landek Park, the largest museum of mining in the Czech Republic.
Landek Hill, above the confluence of the Odra and Ostravice rivers, is a significant geological, archaeological, biological and mining site. Declared a natural monument in 1992, the location features a unique combination of natural beauties and industrial history. First of all, let's visit the former Rothschild Chateau, dating back to the era when the local industry was owned by the Rothschild family. The chateau was built in 1847 after Solomon Meyer Rothschild bought the local black coal mine. It has been rebuilt several times since, and the latest renovation took place in 2008. Each room on the ground floor is decorated in a different style, for example, the so-called Brussels style. Guide Lucie Břemková explains.
Je inspirovaná světovou výstavou Expo, která byla v Bruselu v roce 1950.
The Brussels style is inspired by the Brussels Expo in 1958. You can see decorations from that period, such as this fabric wallpaper, a hand-woven tapestry, pendant lights made from blown glass, or a laminated table that was in fashion in the 1960s. On top of that, there are miniature models of products from the nearby Vítkovice ironworks, such as a steam generator and a model of a bridge in the town of Ústí nad Labem. On the windows, you can see crankshafts, the main local export item sold around the whole world.
Only a fraction of the original design from before 1948 has been preserved, but, for example, floor tiles in the entrance hall have survived to this day. Each one of them was removed and cleaned separately during the renovation. There are also paintings showing that the chateau once had a large park and a garden. Another room where conferences and concerts are held is decorated in the Empire style, in blue, white and gold. There is also a unique pulpit. Lucie Břemková again.
Je originál od Václava Havla, který měl na Pražském hradě, byl vykoupený na aukci.
This is an original pulpit that used to belong to Václav Havel. He had it at Prague Castle. It was bought in an auction for the chateau. There is also a piano with an invisible pianist inside. That is a unique piece. I will try to switch it on, and you can see the keys are playing themselves. Recently, local police had a ceremony here, and their commanding officer put on his tailcoat, combed his hair back, and sat down at the piano to play. All the officers thought they had a brilliant pianist in their midst all those years without knowing it. I don't know whether he eventually owned up. Of course, when concerts take place here, the pianists play themselves, but the piano is a unique artifact.
Another room is furnished in the style of the socialist realism, also known under the portmanteau title Sorella. That's how the room itself is referred to.
Původní nábytek ze 70. let a stůl, který je s motorovým pohonem.
There is authentic furniture from the 1970s and a desk powered with a motor. There is a bottle of vodka in the middle of the desk because legend has it that contracts with the Soviet Union were signed at it. On the walls there are portraits of communist-era personalities by Josef Schmeck. In the corner behind me you can see a portrait of Václav Havel. He is here because he was the first democratic president elected by a communist parliament. Various conferences are held here too. For some people this room brings back unpleasant memories, but this is part of the history of Vítkovice too. That's why we have preserved it.
The history of the Vítkovice industrial complex is interesting in that it combined coal mining and coke and iron production all in one place. The Lundek Park Mining Museum is dedicated to the history of black coal mining. Black coal was discovered here by a certain Mr. Ketlička in 1776. He found strange black rocks on the crest of the hill. He at first placed them in the cupboard, but he didn't like them, so he threw them into the fireplace, and they caught fire. Over time, 11 pits were dug on the site. The Anselm mine, closed down in 1991, was one of the oldest pits in the Ostrava coal district. It is now part of the mining museum, opened in 1993. The museum features a 15-meter-deep shaft and covers the years 1782 to 1990. To give the visitors an idea of what going down the shaft in a cage elevator was like, the bottom of the pit is projected onto the floor of the cage, as one of the tourist guides explains.
Klec na šachtě pro váš obraz jela zhruba 12 až 13 metrů za sekundu.
The cage traveled down the pit at a speed of 12 to 13 meters per second. We wanted to give visitors an impression of the sound as well as the wind whistling past them as they go down, so we added various audio effects, and we also got the machines moving as part of our interactive exhibition.
When visitors reach the bottom of the shaft and get off the cage, they can walk around the galleries showing the history of local coal mining from the 18th century to the present. Apart from the pit, there is also an exhibition dedicated to mining rescue services, without which underground work would not be possible. It features some of the technology which enables rescuers to operate in an environment often more hostile than outer space or the depths of the ocean, in stifling heat, darkness, noise, and in a confined space. Visitors can see an actual mining rescue base and respiratory and resuscitation equipment, including some of the oldest devices from 1884. Miroslav Machara is a former rescuer.
To join the rescue team, you must be a man older than 25 years with 3 years of practice in the pit. You can work there until you turn 48. Then you have to retire. Our men swear their pledge of allegiance on the cross of the Order of Malta featured on the unit's coat of arms. This memorial plaque over here lists the names of the 103 rescuers who were killed in action.
As former rescuer Miroslav Machera says, rescuers need to stay in good physical shape. Every group of rescuers also includes divers, as there is water in the pits that needs to be pumped out constantly. The divers' boots, weighing 12 kilograms, are also on display here.
Imagine if there is a dangerous situation down the pit and you need to get the miners out. For example, in the Darkov mine, 1,200 men are underground at all times. What you do is throw down an ampoule filled with the chemical mercaptan, which is terribly smelly. The controller also explodes a device which breaks a glass ampoule installed in the main air duct. The air gets even to the remotest parts of the mine in 5 to 10 seconds. When you smell the odor, you put on your oxygen mask. It can provide oxygen for up to 60 minutes. This is rehearsed twice a year. The technology is a Soviet patent and it's used in outer space too. It has saved a lot of lives in the 30 years we've been using it. And once you have the mask on, you run to the nearest shaft.
Czech and Polish rescue workers are highly respected internationally. They are on standby all the time, capable of going down the shaft within 3 minutes. Rescuers, divers are often asked to help out in various commercial jobs in the Czech Republic and abroad, as they have equipment no one else does. The Landek Museum of Mining also displays different types of lighting used in the pits, as well as explosion-proof dams which are built in case of fire. The revitalization project of the historic part of Landek was designed by architect Josef Bleskot, who is also behind the new industrial heritage site in Vítkovice. There are plans to build a sports center in Landek Park and connect it with the city of Ostrava by a funicular.
That was Pavla Horáková with that edition of Spotlight. And we'll be staying with Pavla now for the next edition of our Soundcheck series, where the Czech language meets the language of music.
Hello, it's time again to learn a new Czech phrase with the help of a song. Today's tune is a 1960s duet Motýl, or Butterfly, written by hitmakers Jiří Suchý and Jiří Šlitr for the legendary Semaphore Theatre. The stanza we'll be listening to is sung by jazz trumpeter Jiří Jelínek. The phrase to listen out for is vzít si něco do hlavy.
Zdá se mi, že jsem motýl, který si vzal do hlavy, že lítat z kytky na kytku ho vlastně nebaví.
In this love song, the amorous singer says he feels like a butterfly that has decided it's tired of flying from flower to flower. Zdá se mi, že jsem motýl, který si vzal do hlavy, že lítat z kytky na kytku ho vlastně nebaví. And therefore he chooses the most beautiful blossom and wants to devote his life to it. He uses the phrase vzít si něco do hlavy in the past tense, motýl, který si vzal do hlavy. A butterfly that took it into its head, that set its mind on it. The verb vzít means to take. Hlava means head. Everything should be clear now, so have another listen.
Zdá se mi, že jsem motýl, který si vzal do hlavy, že lítat z kytky na kytku ho vlastně nebaví.
Vzít si něco do hlavy, to put one's mind on doing something, implies a certain stubbornness and determination in Czech. If someone vezme si něco do hlavy, then he or she will do it no matter what. If you think it's a bad idea, whatever the person has decided to do, you would typically say in Czech, co si to zase vzal do hlavy? What is it that you have set your mind on doing again? But back to our love-struck singer who feels like a butterfly that decided it's tired of skipping from flower to flower. Vzal si do hlavy, že lítat z kytky na kytku ho nebaví.
Zdá se mi, že jsem motýl, který si vzal do hlavy, že lítat z kytky na kytku ho vlastně nebaví.
Vzít si něco do hlavy is one of many Czech phrases using the word hlava or head. We have mentioned some of them in previous editions of Soundcheck, but here are another handful. Nemá to hlavu ani patu. Literally, it has neither head nor heel. That is, it makes no sense. It has neither rhyme nor reason. Je to hlava otevřená. Literally, he's an open head, meaning he's bright and resourceful. And finally, if you forget something, you can say já jsem ale hlava děravá. Literally, a head full of holes, meaning a scatterbrain. That's it for today, but if you'd like to practice today's phrase some more, you can find this episode as well as all the previous ones on Radio Prague's website radio.cz/english. Naschledanou.
Zdá se mi, že jsem motýl, který si vzal do hlavy, že lítat z kytky na kytku ho vlastně nebaví. A proto rozhodl se hned pro nejkrásnější květ a jenom pro něj hodlá žít.
Snad řek si víc, oh, no, než chtěl si říct,
ba, ba, ba,
to už se stává.
Pan oh yes, bude to tím, že dobře ví, že si ta pravá.
That was Pavla Horáková and the music of trumpeter Jiří Jelínek, ending that edition of Soundcheck and wrapping up our English program for today. Don't forget that this program and every other is available at our internet address, radio.cz. If you have any questions or comments, we are always happy to hear them. You can contact us by email at english@radio.cz, on Facebook under Radio Prague, or of course by post to Vinohradská 12, 12099 Prague. From me, Christian Falvey, thanks for listening.